Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So one of the shows I love to watch on TV is actually on the HGTV channel, the Home and Garden TV channel, and it's called Fixer Upper. I don't know if you're aware of Fixer Upper, but Fixer Upper is based off of a couple, Chip and Joanna Gaines, that are in Waco, Texas, and they only work in the Waco, Texas area. But they build these beautiful farmhouses. But it's not just that they build these beautiful farmhouses, but what do? Is people come to them and they say, I want to buy into this community, but the prices tend to be above what they can afford. And so Chip and Joanna, they go in and they research these communities, and what do they find? But they find the worst looking houses in these communities that are for sale. So they've got these really low prices to them, but you look at them and you think nobody wants to live in this house in the condition that it's in. And so they take these couples to these houses, and half the time the couples like don't even want to walk into these houses. Like, this is not the beautiful house in this neighborhood that I want. But Chip and Joanna, they look at these houses and they don't see the rundown. They don't see the broken. They don't see that which looks like it needs to be bulldozed. But they walk in and they see the potential of these houses. They're able to see what they can make of them. And so they bring these couples in and they say, now look with our eyes and see what happens if we tear down this wall and we put in these cabinets and we paint it in this way and we add this room. And they invite them to see what they can see of this house. And eventually they convince them on one of the houses that they can see the house of their dreams for them and their family in it. And what do? But they sign a contract with Chip and Joanna, and they buy this house and they say, yes, make this broken down house the house of our dreams. And then you get to see this beautiful house at the end of the show. Well, I wanted to start this year off with looking at ourselves and how we are fixer-uppers, how we have the parts of us that maybe are a little broken, the parts of us that could use a little sprucing up, a little fixing up, and what it is that we can do to get there. And so this month and the first week of February, we're going to be looking at our lives as fixer-uppers. Well, where do I begin? But I begin us here in the second book of Kings in the Old Testament. And here in the second book of Kings, at this point, we're going through a lot of kings, okay? A lot of kings and a lot of kings. And our king right now is King Josiah. And Josiah became king at 8 years old. Could you imagine being king at 8 years old? Here's a country to run at 8 years old. You should be running around playing hide and go seek, but please run a country of people. So Josiah takes the throne at 8 years old. And in our story, it's 18 years later, okay? So he's 26 years old by my math. And at 26 years old, it gets brought to him that the book of the law has been found. God's book of the law, the covenant of the Lord. It's been found and it gets brought to him, and he begins to tear his robes and realizing that his people, the people of Jerusalem, the people of Judah, God's people have not been living by this book. They have not been living by this covenant, and he realizes the fate that could come upon them because of what the Lord has promised. You do right in my eyes, and I will bless you. You do not do right in my eyes, do not follow my covenant, then death will come upon you. And he realizes his people are in trouble. And so he sends his prophets and his priests to go get advice and to go get help. And he hears how angry the Lord is, and he hears what's going to happen. And so here, as we get to our scripture, we hear Josiah's response. Josiah's response of realizing their homes are filled with idols. Their lives are going a path that they shouldn't be going. And so what is his response? He leads the way. And he takes all of his people. It said all the people of Jerusalem, all the people of Judah, all of the priests, everybody he takes with him, and they march up to the temple. Here all the people are going to the temple with him. He gets to the temple, and what does he do? But he opens up the book of the law. He opens up the covenant of the Lord, and he reads it for all to hear. He reminds them, this is how we're to be living. This is who we're called to be. This is how we are to be loving one another and loving God with our whole heart and mind and body and spirit and everything that we have. And right there it says, he first recommits himself to that covenant that he pledges by this book. God's law is the way I choose to live my life from this day on. And then he has the people follow him and do the same thing, to pledge their covenant to God. This is the way we will live. Today is a new day, and here is who we are going to be, the people of the book, the people of God. And so here we come on January 1st. January 1st, the start of a new year, the start of new beginnings, the time when we make resolutions and say we are going to be better. And I invite us, as we stand here in the presence of God and with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to examine our lives, to see where it is that, number one, we're doing things well. Where is it that I'm living my life as God desires for me to do? And to be able to praise yourself for that. I give you permission to praise yourself, to say, here is how I am doing well at living the way God wants me to do. God, thank you for helping me fulfill this part of your covenant, to be doing this with my life as I'm able to honor and glorify you in my life. But then how do we look with that examining eye? How do we look like they looked at those homes and fixer-upper? How do we see where it is that maybe we just need a little facelift? Maybe there's those parts that just need a fresh coat of paint to spruce them up a little bit. But where are those parts that really need that gut job that's going to tear down and rebuild and be anew? This is what we do on January 1st. Where is it that I'm falling short of being who I can be? And what do I need to do this year to get to be that person? And I argue that there's three areas that we really need to look at. The first is how we are taking care of ourselves. You know, God created each one of us in our mother's womb. He knit us together, it says in Jeremiah. He knit us in our mother's womb and created us to be just who we are, unique and special. Just the unique one and only of us. And God says, I only give you one. We only get one of these. One body, one life, one chance at this earthly living. And what does God desire but for us to take the best care of it possible? Number one, because it is the only one we get. But number two is we're reminded when we are baptized, that we receive the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit? But it is God's presence dwelling in us that makes us the holy temple of the Lord. This becomes a big reminder to me today, thinking of that baptism, because only once before in my ministry has Sunday landed on January 1st. And I was thinking, man, what did I do back then on January 1st? And then I was reminded, I skipped church that day, at least my church. I called in a guest preacher, and what did I do instead? But I sat in my home church, and Maddie, at 7 months old, was baptized on that day. We started that year, 2012, the first day of that year, by baptizing our baby girl. And she received the Holy Spirit, and she became an earthly dwelling place of God. And I was charged as her mother to help her to learn how it is that she treats that body. Every meal that I have to convince her to eat vegetables, to tell her it's to keep you healthy. Why? Because she is special. Because she is unique. And because she is God's presence. And that's the same with each of us. Every year I say, I'm going to do better. Every year I say, I'm going to eat better and I'm going to work out more. And every year I say, and this is the year I'm going to dedicate myself and I am going to floss and make my dentist happy. I fail that one every year. When I go to the dentist, I get that same lecture every year of you need to floss. But I commit myself and I say, I'm going to do it. But what am I waiting for? This is the year to finally do that, to be healthier, to take better care of myself because I deserve it, because I need it, and because I want to do right by God who dwells in me. How we take care of ourselves is the first part of that covenant on January 1st. The second is how we're caring for the relationships and the people that are around us. How is it that I am in relationship with my family and doing the best I can by them, the best I can to care for them and love them and be there for them? How it is that I'm doing the best I can in the relationship with my friends, with my neighbors? How it is I am in best relationship with those strangers on the street that I come in contact with? To again realize that whole presence of God that's in me, and how is that being fulfilled in how I care for the people around me? How is it this year that I can do better in those relationships? How is it that I can do better at portraying and fulfilling God's love to each one of those people that God has charged with my care that is around me? And the third and final one, which is actually of the most importance, though I leave it for last, is how we are caring for our relationship with God and our spirituality. To realize that was the most important part of the covenant that God had with his people, of how they were in relationship with him. And I don't know, maybe one of you has reached perfection. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, says absolutely spiritual perfection is attainable in this life. And if you've reached that, you can pat yourself on the back and say, I've done a great job and I'm going to keep doing it this year. But if you haven't reached perfection, it means there's room for improvement. It means there's room to be able to grow in your relationship with God, to be able to deepen your spirituality and your faith. And growing is a good thing. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it takes hard work. Sometimes it takes commitment more than we think that we have. But when we grow, that growth pays off. When we grow closer to God, when we grow deeper in our faith, it makes us stronger to be able to face this world and this life that we have. It makes us a stronger influence on those around us that look up to us. And yes, if you're sitting here, there are people who look up to you, who look to you to be an example of faith, who look to you as an example of how we live in this world. Those eyes are upon you. And when we realize that, how seriously are we taking it? So here we come to examine ourselves and our lives. To think, what is it that I can commit to this year to be better for myself, to be better for the people around me, and to be better in my relationship with God? Like King Josiah, I bring us today a covenant, the ability to sign that contract with God to say, this is a year that I'm going to be better. This is a year that I'm going to give more to you, and to give more into this life.